And to help us break it all down, our pal joins us, Nataya Jay, Toronto Argos wide receiver and host of the All Ball podcast. And appreciate it as always, man. And you know what? Let's start with the Bills and Chiefs. Going tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock at Bills Stadium there in Orchard Park. Should be a great game. Is your excitement kind of taken away at all with the way the Bills played against Tennessee, shorter week, their defense not looking good? Or do you think that they can find a way to bounce back and make this a really compelling, exciting ball game?
Guys, pleasure to join you as always every Sunday. But in regards to this Bills and Chiefs game, I think it's going to be a really good game. Last week with the Bills, it was a trap weekend for them, you know, a trap weekend because they didn't even know if they were going to play. Tennessee had a bunch of tests. Tennessee was resting. They didn't know if the game was actually going to go on, but as soon as they were cleared, the game was good to go. So it was definitely a trap weekend because you saw the fact that they had the Chiefs coming up, right? And the Chiefs, they're the talk of the NFL, the marquee team in the league, and the Bills are in the position right now. If they can beat the Chiefs, they will be looked at in that light. They will be looked at as real contenders. So that was a trap game for them. I looked for them to bounce back this week. It was a situation where Tennessee was they had no practices, but they were still able to get fresh. And Ryan Tannehill was saying that he had some of the best meetings of his career in that time. So they got caught at the right time. But I look for them to bounce back, and I also look for the Chiefs to bounce back in this game too, because they took a whooping to the Raiders as well. So this is going to be an exciting game. Both teams are looking to bounce back, and usually Andy Reid never loses two games in a row. So it's top dog against top dog, and I'm definitely looking forward to this game Monday night.
Are you concerned at all about the state of the Buffalo Bills defense? Like, I know they have some injuries there, certainly, and like when they played the Titans, A.J. Brown ran wild, for example, in his return, but certainly no Trey White. I wonder, even if Trey White does return, I just wonder if there are enough reinforcements on defense right now with other guys banged up as well. Matt Milano, their top linebacker, he didn't play as well. So I just wonder what your thoughts are on their defense, considering they're playing arguably the most dangerous offensive team in the league.
Yeah, their defense does concern me because we look at Buffalo, they're built as a defense-first team, and it's completely switched with, you know, Josh Allen obviously taking a step up and Stephon Diggs adding that deep threat and consistent number one receiver. But they were, you look at them last year, they were top five in almost all defensive categories, and this year they've almost taken a step back, and you thought they would almost progress because they'd added key pieces like Ed Oliver, you know, drafted him last year. He hasn't been the player they expected him to be. They had a DB from Washington last year, and he you saw him get stiff-armed last week on national television, and it wasn't pretty. But honestly, they haven't been what we expected them to be. We expected them to be a top-ranked defensive team, both offense and defense running on the full cylinders, and we haven't seen that this year yet. I'm concerned for them because they played four games already, and it hasn't shown any signs of turning around. And this might be just what they are. Sometimes when you have a top offense, a top juggernaut offense, it's hard for your defense to keep pace. And I think that's what the Bills are right now, and they're going to probably rely more on their offense right now. But I am definitely concerned about their defense.
Nataya Jay is with us. I got to get your thoughts on Green Bay, Tampa Bay, kind of the feature game of the day. You know, only one other 4 o'clock game, and it's the Jets and Dolphins. So all eyes will obviously be on Tampa and the Packers. Rodgers, Brady, only for the third time ever. Seems like you got to go with Green Bay with how great that offense has been playing. You know, how do you kind of forecast this one? And do you see any way that Tampa Bay can do anything to slow down Green Bay, especially with getting Devontae Adams back?
Honestly, Green Bay is a team that's fine in Austin. You saw it from the moment they drafted Jordan Love at quarterback, you kind of could see this happening with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's playing like a man on fire right now. They didn't give him the weapons he wanted in the offseason, and he's like, all right, you won't do it, I'll do it myself. So he's showing the Packers right now, they lead the league in yards per play, points per drive, and time of possession. Like, they're firing all cylinders, and this is without Devontae Adams, right? So they're doing it. If Devontae Adams is out, okay, they got two running backs. They'll lean heavily on them. They'll lean heavily on Tonyan, who came out of nowhere. Jamal Adams will be running routes Aaron Jones will be breaking through, breaking tackles and running for, you know, 60, 70 yards. It's unbelievable what they're able to do. And Aaron Rodgers, he looked like a man possessed this year. That's pretty much why they're firing all cylinders. And honestly, they've converted 51% of all third downs. It's unbelievable what they're doing right now. I think the fact that they had an offseason where Rodgers could, you know, communicate with their head coach and finally get on the same page, because last year they had times where they weren't quite on the same page. Aaron had stuff that he liked. Head coach had stuff that he liked and he was trying to bring from Tennessee. And this was a situation right now they have where it's a combined effort. Aaron had the full offense, the understanding of the full offense in year number two, and you're seeing him play at an MVP level.
You know, one guy I'm really curious to ask you about, Nate, someone who we all were talking about, certainly, you know, maybe in 2020, this week, this time last week, was Chase Claypool, Mapletron. And he has been fantastic. He certainly got a bit of a bump when Deontay Johnson went out and Big Ben looked his way. What makes him, you're a wide receiver, what makes him from your perspective so dangerous?
Because when he's covered, he's still open. He's 6'3", 215 pounds. He's going to be bigger than any DB he goes against. He's got long arms, big hands. So even when he's covered, he's still open. And this guy, you look at the guy, he ran a 4.4 in the 40, so he can go over the top. He can run short routes. He can do everything you ask a receiver to do, and he's unselfish. That's the big part that I see from him, because in the run game, when they're running the ball and you need one extra block, he's giving that block. You see him down blocking defensive ends, linebackers. He's an asset. He's a weapon. And I see him as a future number one type receiver in the league, not just on his team, because he can literally do it all. He's unselfish, quarterback friendly. Honestly, if you look at the stats, with four touchdowns, he's the first Canadian ever to have four touchdowns in an NFL game, receiving touchdowns. And obviously we know Nate Burleson is the best Canadian receiver ever. And right now, Claypool, he's 13th on the list of receptions and yards per Canadian right now. Right now already in year one, right? So this guy has a bright future. It's so fun to watch a guy, especially a Canadian guy, doing it on this type of level. Obviously, he did that at Notre Dame, but to see him at this level so quick, you know, the future is so bright for him. I'm loving it, especially being a receiver, to see somebody like that ball out the way he has been. It's been fun, and you know, the sky's the limit for him. Big Ben trusts him. The team loves him. Unselfish guy, high character guy, and skill set to match. Honestly, when you put those things together, high skill, high character, and a high IQ, you get a guy like Mapletron. So it's been fun to watch.
Nateah Jay is with us. After Tennessee picked up the win on Tuesday night, after a couple weeks where they had one walkthrough and then a practice, but not in pads, there was this whole conversation about, well, is practice really that big of a deal? Look how good Tennessee looked after 16 days without much practice. As a player yourself, when you hear stuff like that, what goes through your head? Are we just kind of overblowing this and practice is very necessary? Or is there maybe an argument that practice schedules could be changed and maybe, I guess, lessened a little bit?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And it always gets highlighted when a team like Tennessee goes out there and does what they do, which is win. Like, if they had lost, then we'd all be saying, hey, man, they probably need to practice more.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line, especially with veteran teams like Tennessee. They got a veteran quarterback. They got a veteran running back in Derrick Henry, who probably doesn't want to practice that much anyway, because we know what he's going to do on a week in and week out basis. But they've got a veteran team. They're coming back. They're bringing a lot of guys back from last season. AJ Brown was there last season. They really didn't add a lot of new pieces. Ryan Tannehill is still firing on all cylinders, and he's been one of the top quarterbacks in the league if you look at his numbers since he took over last season. And you know, when you have a situation like that, I can think of them. I can think of the Chiefs. I can think of New Orleans not needing to practice that much because they have, you know, same coaches. They have that continuity. I think with them, the practice probably doesn't help as much because of what I just mentioned. But when you have a veteran quarterback that can get the team lined up, get everybody on the same page at the line, you really don't need that much practice. Guys know what they're doing. And, you know, the rest at this point in the season is probably more helpful than the actual practice time. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill, reading his comments this week, he said he had Zoom meetings, but it was some of the most locked-in meetings he's ever been a part of in the NFL. So I think that has a lot to do with it, because of the fact they were on Zoom, guys had to be more locked in. For whatever reason, the guys had to be more locked in. I think they made it more attentive for guys, and it showed to work out. So maybe a few more teams will take their lead on this.
Yeah, Tannehill has been great. Like, he has just picked up right where he left off. Tannehill, I guess people are calling him.
Tannehill, yeah.
It's a great nickname. I want to ask you about another quarterback who has to now take over, Andy Dalton, after that really brutal injury for Dak Prescott. I mean, you pour one out for Dak. I hope he comes back stronger next season. Absolutely. But, I mean, now that he is done for the season, Andy Dalton comes in, and certainly it was a savvy signing at the time by Jerry Jones and the rest of the Cowboys staff there. But now that Dalton is the lead for the Cowboys, I wonder what kind of preparation goes into a backup taking over for someone who is pretty beloved in the locker room like Dak.
Yeah, that's a tough one for them. But that's the reason why they signed a guy like Andy Dalton, for the unforeseen situation going on. But Andy Dalton, if you look at him, he's a consummate professional, right? In his, you know, first four seasons in NFL. He was on the rise. Like, we were looking at him like potentially being one of the best quarterbacks, you know, in the league, because, you know, he had like AJ Green and weapons like that. But Andy Dalton can play, and you know, they don't call him the Red Rifle for no reason. He can play. I look for him to step in. You know, if you look at Dallas, this is probably the most amount of weapons he's ever had on a roster, right? And I think it's going to bode for him well. They're not going to do the same things they were doing with Dak, where they're throwing the ball almost three times more than they were running it, right? There's going to be more of a balanced attack. And I think that's going to help Dallas's defense, because they're not going to be on the field as much, right? And you have balanced attack, you know, you're running a little bit more, you're doing a little bit more play action. It's just the defense you're keeping the defense off balance. I think this might be better for the team, because you know what happens when you have a guy like so talented like Dak. You want to put the ball in his hands as often as you can, and sometimes you forget that you have other players that, you know, need touches too. And I think that Dallas was kind of getting away from that, but now they have a situation where they have a good quarterback. Not great, he's good, and he has weapons. And the offensive coordinator, you know, you have opportunity where you can feed everyone in that offense. You know, keep the defense off the field. And I think that was what was hurting them a lot. The defense isn't great, but they were put in a situation where, you know, quick turnovers and they're back on the field, and the time of possession wasn't great, right? So I think this is a situation where, you know, Dallas is fortunate because they have a guy like Dalton who's seen a lot of defenses, who knows how to command a huddle, who knows how to get guys lined up. He's a veteran. And, you know, with a guy like him, he's locked in all the time, right? You know, if you have another, maybe a rookie who doesn't understand the league, who's a backup, you might be in trouble. But Dalton, he understands what to do. He knows how the NFL works. He knows how to get guys in and out of the huddle. He knows how to hold guys accountable, and he knows who to lean on when he's in trouble. So I think this is not a perfect situation, but it's a good situation for Dallas, because they're able to get somebody that understands what's going on. And I think they can win the NFC East, because it's the NFC least right now. So yeah, they're in good hands.